What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 4th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. The Burgett Locker. Yes, this is Ryan Burgert, who went 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Who is that? Well, he was a reliever for 4 games or so for the Padres, and they made his first start of his career yesterday. And I kind of liked it against the Giants. I saw 94-95 with 18 to 19 inches of vert. And at times I saw this 80-89 mile per hour slider that was really good down away to right-handers. There were things that need to get fixed a little bit. The four-seamer only had about 50% strikes. The sweeper wasn't that good. Had a hanging one for a home run as well. 4 for 28 whiffs overall on that slider, that the one I liked. That should be better, I think, moving forward. It was a showcase of what could be. And I think for 15 teamers, he's worth the spec ad, as the Padres need the help right now in that rotation. But for 12 teamers, I think we wait another start to kind of see how things settle and understand what is actually real, what isn't out of Burgert's arsenal. We have Landon Roop, who, oh my gosh, what an outing. It was on the other side of this. 6.1 innings of 0 runs against the Padres with 4 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. That changeup. I've been talking about this with Roop. He has sinker, curveball. Those are working. That's fine. But he needs something else. And that changeup went 8 for 32 whiffs. 66% strikes. He threw them to both lefties and righties over 30% of the time. Oh my gosh, that opened the door for a ton of called strikes on the sinker. And the curveball that actually wasn't good in this one. He hung it up a lot and he just wasn't getting the same kind of performance. Yeah, that pitch still performed fine, 32% CSW. And this changeup masked how bad that curveball was. Landon Roop, I really hope this is a new thing that you have evolved into. It's what I've been saying a bit, that Roop needs the time to develop into those changeups and cutters, and it seems like he's doing that. So I'm really excited about this. Obviously, he's not going to be leaving the rotation when Verlander is back. It's already now on Hayden Birdsong and Kyle Harrison. If Birdsong has a horrible outing and Harrison kills it, I do wonder how that goes. Or maybe just don't have Verlander come back. I'm just saying that, Giants. Okay. Lance McCullers against the Pirates. Got the win. 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. This is fresh off of his 12 strikeout game. And after that one, we said, yeah, we're going to start him against the Pirates now and expect good results. This one was interesting because you had a much higher strike rate than we normally see on the slider and sinker. Really against right-handers, just sinkers over the plate and sliders over the plate, and that was good enough. What's interesting is that against left-handers, I talked about this with Eno on the Craft yesterday, McCullers does not throw fastballs. Eno was mentioning that he would be the lowest percentage of fastballs thrown, and it's not really something that we expect to stick around, or maybe he's really seeing the how low he can go with it. However, I do want to mention that McCullers is throwing cutters. Very few of them, but he has thrown cutters at 88-89 to left-handers. And that might be enough. We've seen that, like Clark Schmidt doing that. And I don't think that, you know, was really taking into account Clark Schmidt, because the cutter is kind of like that fastball for him to lefties. So it is right now changeups, sliders, and curves to lefties with a few cutters to lefties. And I wonder if that cutter does take off a little bit more for McCullers. Still, it clearly worked with the changeup, slider, and curve. Maybe that's enough. Maybe you can just get by with that. We will certainly find out next time against the Guardians. That is going to be a left-handed lineup against Lance McCullers. I am super curious to see what that happens, what happens there and what we get to see. Shane Smith went against the Tigers. I was concerned about this one because it's the Tigers, and Shane Smith has kind of gotten away with it a little bit. And think about what I've been saying about Shane Smith throughout the year, if you can remember it. It was that Shane Smith is someone who is good at 96 plus, and he has a changeup and a slider. And now that he's getting closer with his velocity, closer to 96, which started at like 93.8, 94, as he couldn't hold the velocity throughout the start, has been getting better, and now it's about the changeup and the secondaries to come through. Well, this was 5.1 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks for Shane Smith against the Tigers. Got the win. Amazing outing. because the four seamer was 96.97. We're talking sitting 96.6 for the outing, which is incredible. Oh my gosh. And not only that, he also has this curveball now. I've been saying changeups and sliders for Shane Smith. No, the curveball had a 70% strike rate and 6 for 20 whiffs, mostly against lefties here. Amazing. I mean, this is such a different version of Shane Smith, a much better one, and this is the development we were hoping to see by June. And guess what? It's June 4th, and here he is. Oh my gosh. This is fun stuff. The slider wasn't really present. The changeup was good, but it wasn't utilized that much. It was really the third offering here with the curve as a second one and the four-seamers doing stuff. What is kind of strange, though, is under 12 inches of vert on the four-seamer, over two ticks underneath. He was already low on that, but the velocity kind of made up for it. And also off of the changeup and the breaker, it was fine. But this is strange. I'm really curious to see what we get next time against the Royals from Shane Smith. Is it going to be the same curveball? Is it going to be sliders? Is it going to be changeups, etc.? I don't know. But I do like the fact that he went 96.9 in the sixth inning before he got pulled on his 85th pitch, or maybe it's like his 81st or so. That's a fantastic sign for Shane Smith. Drew Rasmussen against the Rangers killed it. 5 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 8 Ks, 79 pitches. I know the Rays didn't let him go 6, but he was less efficient because he got strikeouts, guys. And he's not even using the curve or sweeper at all. It's just cutter, sinker, four-seamer. He actually needed an extra 2 pitch to get out Smith in the first inning because Laz Diaz did not ring him up for 2 sinkers that were beautiful front hip sinkers right at the bottom of the zone at 97. It was gorgeous, and he didn't call either one, and they had to throw a four-seamer by him at 96. Like, fine. But Drew Rasmussen's open makes his field up right now, and obviously we keep rolling with this. Grant Holman opened for Jacob Lopez, who went 4.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. So there's a dusty donut there. This was against the Twins. The cutter going over the plate to right-handers and the four-seamer not being a high strike pitch and really kind of dancing in and out at 7 feet of extension is why Lopez is having some success. The slider, though, it was a good back foot pitch and got some strikeouts, but it's sub 50% strikes, and it can't do that at 29% usage, right? That just does not add up. So I'm not really in on this. I can see how he gets those strikeouts a little bit, but it's way too volatile to me. It's not polished. It's too inefficient. I'm not going to go after Jacob Lopez here. I'm not going to fall for this again. Brent Herter was a follower, I guess, and Bo Brisky opened, but it was 2 frames for Brent Herter, and this was really just a bullpen game. We have Sawyer Gibson Long today, though. Oh, boy. Cannot wait for that. It's Paul Skeens. Ace is going to ace 8 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. He had 21 whiffs for Gallo's pull. What is really interesting is that he threw so many sweepers. He threw 35% usage of sweepers to right-handers. What? 42% CSW overall, only 19% four-seamers. And we had sinkers, actually, utilized 26% of the time. What I'm trying to say is that Skeens is now expanding his arsenal. He's not just going like, here's my fastball, here's my splinker, do something. He's actually figuring it out to be an efficient pitcher and also dominant. 99 pitches for 8 innings. This has been my biggest criticism of Paul Skeens, is that he's only going 6 innings as opposed to like Wheeler and Skubal, who have routinely gone 7. And here is Skeens pushing it up. I believe it was 6.2 in the last one. And then now 8 innings here. This is great. This is great. Tomoyuki Sugano, 7 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks in Seattle. So at the tee, love it, got the win. He's a command guy. The splitter's looking good. 4 seamers are upstairs. He's got the sweeper to wait. Right-handers, he's a Toby. He is wonderful for 15 teamers. I don't think there's much higher ceiling than this from Sugano, unfortunately. So think of him as a really good Toby. Maybe he eventually gets into Hollyland. Zach Gallen did a very interesting thing against Atlanta. And we're going to talk about that and everybody else from yesterday after this break. Gallen went 7 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk in, 4 strikeouts with a 36% CSW. That's a King Cole against Atlanta. It's lovely to see. And I love that he is adapting a bit where he's not really throwing the cutter or slider anymore. He went ultra curve and changeup for the most part while playing keep away with the fastball as much as he could instead of just going cold strikes with it. And I think that is a better version of Gallen, really utilizing the curveball as, hey, this is in the zone a little bit more and not just out of the zone underneath where it becomes chases and playing the game of fastball or curve with the death ball. It also really helps having a much better changeup. So Gallen, much better placed now. I hope he has taken something from this and will apply it moving forward. He gets the Reds in Cincinnati next time. I think I'm going to start him there. Carlos Rodon, ace, is going to ace against the Guardians. Got the win. Changeup's looking great. And everything's cool there. Christopher Sanchez against the Jays got a win over six innings with one run. Cool. 4 hits, 4 walks, and 4 Ks. Because the changeup was just 50% strikes as he tugged too many of them glove side to right-handers, and they just didn't go for those. Fine, he didn't allow as many hits on the sinker at least, but it was actually sub-60% strikes. And a 57% strike rate for Christopher Sanchez, the guy who doesn't really walk many batters. Very weird. He's been very strange since that forearm scare, and it's pretty obvious it's still affecting him in some way. But he's still clearly good, and we just move on. Sandy Alcantara against Rocky Road, and he survived because Rocky Road, thankfully. Now, the sixth inning was, maybe it was the fifth or the sixth. I think it was the sixth. No, it was the fifth inning. He was so unlucky with an absurdly high chopper that they still had him at first and they didn't get him. And then there was a sack fly after that too. And it was just, both the runs were a result of this, and it's dumb. But I will say, Sandy Alcantara got through six because it was sinkers that returned outs. And he wasn't really locating them well. There were a lot of them over the plate. This was Rocky Root. Thank you so much. The changeup is a big deal for Sandy Alcantara. Back in the day, that was a major offering for him. 40% strikes. Just 1 out of 10 whiffs on that. The slider has taken a step back this year. The curveball is stepping up a little bit. But all in all, this still is not Sandy. It is the velocity, but it's not the command. It is not the precision that we've seen in the past that made me fall for him initially. I am still worried about this. Yes, he needed 70 pitches to get 6 innings. That is classic Sandy. But that's because it's Rocky Road and he threw enough strikes with sinkers. And if he threw said strikes to other guys, he would be knocked out of the game. I am not in still, but it is the Pirates. And I just want to believe at some point Sandy Alcantara makes the tweak so that he can actually locate these pitches where he wants. And maybe it's just going to take other coaching, a different environment, a different way for him mentally to approach attacking in the way that he wants to. That might be it. It might be that second half thing when he's dealt. But the Marlins wouldn't deal him now. His value is so low. I do not agree. I think that a lot of front offices will still pay for him because, yeah, the talent is still there with the stuff itself. You have Pablo Lopez against the Athletics. 5 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. It doesn't matter because he got hurt with a sore shoulder and he'll likely hit the IL, and I'm very, very sad. Speaking of the IL, so will Hunter Green after he felt the same thing with the groin injury that he had before. He felt that come up again here after 5 innings, and he's on the IL. Oh, man, it's not fun. Now, guy coming back from the IL is George Kirby. This is his third start, I believe. Maybe it's his second. I apologize. We still haven't seen George Kirby be George Kirby yet. This was 5 innings, 2 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. Too many fastballs way over the plate. I mean, that's really it. He does not have any secondaries that we really are excited about either quite yet. Those are the two things that need to change. One, just avoid the heart of the plate in general with everything. But two, it's also, we need to see the secondaries get whiffs. So, yeah. Maybe George Kirby is just the Holly and that's that, but I wouldn't be worried about Kirby. The velocity is there and we don't expect this kind of command moving forward. Chase Dolander got the Marlins and is still ill, and it was Dolander. So do we really even care? 3 innings of 200 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Well, it was just 59 pitches. Just don't go after Dolander. You have Tanner Bibee against the Yankees. He went 6 innings of actually killing it. It was a 1 run at that time with just 2 hits, but then he allowed back-to-back home runs to start off the 7th and was still in there for another out as he went 107 pitches, which is pretty shocking to me. And if you want to say, okay, fine, Nick, let's just say he got removed from that start, you're excited, right? 6 innings of 1 run and 2 hits. No, I don't think that Tanner Bibee pitched particularly well. His curveball was good, 11 over 12 strikes, but it's not really everything in this. The four-seamer did find more of the edges and got more outs than usual, but he did allow one of those solo shots from Jazz Chisholm. There's also a really bad sweeper upstairs to Anthony Volpe. Long story short here, I think that Bibee is still missing the command that he had last year a bit. He's never really been a major command guy, but his stuff isn't matching the... is not making up for the lack of precision, right? Or accuracy, I should say. And we're still missing that overwhelming secondary pitch or two, because it's supposed to be the changeup and a breaker from Bybee. We're just not there. So I hope that he is going to continue tinkering. I love the fact that he's figuring things out. He's changing his approaches more, leaning into that sweeper, for example, in this one, moving away from the cutter that hasn't been working so far. He also increases velocity a tick as well, but we're not there yet, guys. Even though this was the Yankees, he had Koufax helping him out a bit. You have Freddy Peralta going 6 innings, 3 runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 9 strikeouts. So at least he got the strikeouts, but yeah, this is Freddy Peralta. You're going to have those ups and downs in the ratios. You don't know what you're going to get. Brian Bello at least got a very poor quality start. 6 innings, 3 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. But the changeup was thrown 6 times. And the sweeper was hung a lot to righties. I will mention the sinker. Oh, really good righties. He got that inside a ton. And for the most part, that sweeper, it wasn't so bad. It was hung a lot. But if he has his changeup going, that sweeper is fine. That's good enough. We just haven't seen all 3 pitches going. At least he did attack, though. There are more strikes in this one with the sweeper and the sinker. That's good. Okay, now where's the changeup? Cade Horton against the Nationals gave us a streaming victory of a win here against the Nats. We have 5.1 innings of 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. 94% strikes on the curveball is pretty cool from Cade Horton. That's his main breaking ball. And he faced mostly lefties. So the four-seamer with its cut action could have been better inside. It got a little bit more over the plate, and the changeup really didn't help. I was hoping to see more of that changeup. 39% strikes with a really lucky, or sorry, unfortunate hit for him, but it was a very lucky hit for the batter that he allowed on that changeup. And that is an area of growth for Horton, but I really do feel encouraged by the curveball location. Very good down and earning those strikes while not just flipping them over the plate. The cut fastball is still very good. And I think that we're going to see more development from Horton moving forward. And the thing is, you get the Tigers, Pirates, and Brewers next. I think I'm just going to start him for the Tigers and then enjoy the Pirates or Brewers. So you can be really careful about it. Yeah, it's going to be a questionable start against the Tigers, but I'm not going to drop him because I do want the Pirates and Brewers. And I feel like he's going to be a good, solid play the rest of the year. Not to mention the good defense behind him will have the opportunity of Knights of Koufax helping us out and getting more outs in play that should prevent those runs. Yusei Kikuchi apparently was using the wrong grip on his slider and four-seamer. And the Angels just realized this, and I know, after a while. It's kind of one of the concerns I've had about Kikuchi and the Angels is that the Angels coaching staff would not catch these things, and they would not help him when he's not doing well as much as other organizations. And they tweaked it, and you should expect success, right? In Fenway, 5 innings, 3 runs, 8 hits, 5 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Okay. I will say the heater is up a tick, and with a little bit more movement, and at a 1.7 height adjusted VAA. So that is more like last year's stellar four-seamer. And the slider, well, it's 88-89, and it's a little bit harder, but it also is at less movement. So it's more of kind of a cut action to it. I'm actually okay with it. I will take that sacrifice of velocity versus movement for Kikuchi because the four-seamer is better than the extension at 7 feet. Will make actually the slider better at a higher velocity, right? Harder velocity is going to be better for the tunneling of extension with the four-seamer. That is fine with me. But yeah, this isn't good. So I'm going to keep an eye on Kikuchi. I am not going to pick him up now in those leagues that he's been dropped, which should be many of them. But we'll see how this goes moving forward with Kikuchi and hopefully the schedule, when it eases up, he's in a good place. You have Clayton Kershaw going, and he didn't do well because it's Clayton Kershaw in his Michael Jordan Wizards phase, and you should not, you shouldn't go for this. It stinks. I know. I don't want us to think negatively about the legacy of Kershaw because he's been amazing. But yeah, we have Tyler McGill against the Dodgers on the other side. This was a very interesting one. We had 6 innings of 4 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks, but 4 runs in the first, including a 2-run shot by Max Muncy. And a good fastball upstairs, honestly, that really capped it off. But 18 whiffs overall. Why? Because it was 13 over 33 whiffs on the slider. And he also did that with whiffs on 13 over 15 swings, which is highly unsustainable. He also put this pitch in the zone just 21% of the time. He was really nailing down and glove side with that slider location to both lefties and righties, and they obliged often. Now, that's not going to stick around. That said, he is also decent at locating his fastballs, that is his four-seamer and his sinker away from the heart of the plate. That is good, but it's his back and forth with McGill. He is also changing the slider where it's less drop by 4 inches, but then nearly 5 inches of sweep added. So it's a different movement on that slider as well. Maybe that makes it a little bit more whiffable. I mean, clearly in some way. Can he command that better? I don't know. This is a new thing here from McGill. And I really hate that it's Coors next, because Coors affects the spin of the ball and how they move. So I can't tell you how, after that start, like, we're still going to be in the dark a bit. So that's unfortunate for McGill. I don't really think that this is going to be the major shift. I feel like it's one of those games, even though it was against the Dodgers, and I think we should kind of not go for that. Tyler McGill, Tyler McGill is, he's so frustrating. All right. Tyler Malley is who I meant to say there. Against the Rays, 5.1 innings of 4 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Is this the end of the Vargas rule for Malley? I don't think so. I actually think he pitched kind of good. And so it goes. He gets the Nationals and the Cry Sox next, as the White Sox. Yeah, I'm holding tight. I'm going for that. He also got really lucky, though, on that one, I think it was a slider. Maybe it was a curve. Is it 85? Well off the plate. Oh, boy, that is not a strikeout. He got lucky there. I think generally unlucky for the results of this one. Spencer Strider is in a terrifying state because he went against the Diamondbacks. 5 innings, 5 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. His fastball velocity still just at 95, and his slider's at 83. And we want to see that 86-mile-per-hour slider. We want to see that fastball sitting 97. And he also went down to 15.7 inches of vert, which should be close to 18 inches. That is also terrifying. So he is not looking like that guy right now. It might take some time for him to get back to it. But we kind of need to accept that he's not an ace is going to ace guy, but rather a cherry bomb, which is fine. He's going to be productive, and he has a good schedule ahead. So don't just sell him for peanuts or something like that. I just would not expect a top 15 pitcher moving forward at all. I really hope that velocity does come back over time. Trevor Williams, never Trevor. Bowden Francis, 1.2 innings of 6 earned runs. Trevor Williams went 4.1 innings of 5 earned runs against the Cubs, whatever. Andre Pallante against the Royals, 4.1 innings of 7 earned runs. Oh man, the cut fastball was hit. I mean, that's really it. Slider was hit too. Oh yeah, and the sinker too, yeah. But at least it's at 95, that's cool. And the last one is Michael Lorenzen, who went 2.2 innings of 7 earned runs. And I just gotta ask, like, if Noah Cameron kills it, is Lorenzen really gonna stay in that rotation? I feel like he should go to the pen, you know? That's what I think should happen there. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. My name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.